Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
We're going to this new series, and it's at last, to this place where we're going to be talking in these next 3 weeks about real deeper parts of what we need as humans. Today we're going to talk about I'm okay, talk about righteousness. Next we're going to talk about I matter, talk about our purpose in life, and this whole thing of I'm wanted, about adoption. And those deep needs we're going to be kind of talking about, how Jesus, when he came, that's what he brought. And so I encourage you to make a priority of the series and bring friends. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. You know, this is this longing throughout for the Messiah to come. Longing because these deep needs they had, and at last Jesus came. Now, we're going to talk today, and the title is I'm Okay. This is a question. Have you ever been asked a question, are you okay? Right? And it can mean a lot of different things. It can be like physically, are you okay? Like this, when Debbie and I were early in our marriage, we lived in a house that our bedroom was upstairs and the bathroom was downstairs. And the stairs were extremely steep with real thick carpet on them. And it was not uncommon for me to get up in the middle of the night, and as I was hanging down the stairs, I would slip, and I would, and it boom, 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 like this. And I always would sit there, and I would wait for Debbie. She'd wake up, are you okay? And then I'd say, yes. And then she just burst out in laughter. This happened, I mean, numbers of times. She, for some reason, has a strange sense of humor. Of course, I do the same thing. But or maybe it's a spot where, you know, where it's kind of like just checking in with somebody, you know. Maybe, you know, Debbie's not feeling well, and I'm kind of keeping an eye on her, and I say, hey, I go in and make sure he has everything. And, you know, are you okay? You got everything? Yeah, I'm okay, right? Sometimes we act like we're okay when we're not okay. Like, just recently, Debbie doesn't know this, but I was up on a ladder trying to fix a plug that was hooked to my deck lights that were swung down. I was going to see what the problem with the connection was. But a tree is round, a ladder is square, and somehow I got in the top of this thing, and this ladder started going, and I'm hanging on to limbs, I'm way up. Now, quite honestly, if Debbie would have come out, she would have said, are you okay? I would have said, in my pride, I'm fine. But I wasn't okay until I got back down on the ground, right? Now, what I find is there's a deeper question of the okay part that we're talking about here. And that is this place that we want to talk about today. And the question is, are you okay at the deepest level of who you are? You know, how's your soul? Are you okay? How's it going? In this place that's much deeper than the surface, this place that ties in beyond physical to this place of identity, the kind of things that you're trying to put your weight on in the foundation of your life, that determines, you know, your values and your peace. Are you okay? You know, I think this is a question that's just out there. In our world, I think it's a very central question people are asking down below the surface when you get past the outside. I ran across a song from Ingrid Michaelson, which I have no idea who she is. If you know her, you'll be glad that I'm quoting her, but I don't know who she is. Have you ever done that before? You look on your phone, how did I get this song on my playlist? I did not do this. It just pops up. And here's the words to this song. I just want to be okay, be okay, be okay. I just want to be okay today. I just want to feel today. I want to feel today. I just want to feel something today. Open me up and you will see I'm a gallery of broken hearts. I'm beyond repair. I just want to know today, know today, know today, know that I may be okay. I just want to be okay, be okay. I just want to be okay today. It's kind of a peppy little song, but it's speaking of something pretty deep. And I would say that, quite honestly, in our world with the communication, social media, and all the things that are coming at us, which is saying, here's what you need to be okay, and everybody's running after this thing and that thing and all kinds of places to try to be okay, and people are not being okay. They're not doing well. I was reading an article about increasing low self-esteem among the youth, even though we've affirmed them to pieces in the generation before. The self-esteem keeps going down. 70% of girls ages 15 to 17 avoid normal daily activities such as attending school when they feel bad about their looks or believe that they're not good enough or don't measure up in some way, including their looks, performance in school, relationships, friends, family members. 75% of the girls with low self-esteem report engaging in negative activities like cutting and bullying and smoking, drinking, and eating disorders. You know, and what they find is boys are going through the same thing, but much of it's just going inside. And they're getting to a place, they're isolating, losing motivation, and getting depressed. And I would just say for any of you here who are youth or going in grade school, this is something that is hard right now. You have so many pressures and things coming at you to try to tell you this is what you need. And there's a big longing for this. But I don't think it just stops when you're in your adolescent years. In fact, as adults, many times we might stabilize a bit, and the stats may be a little less extreme after you get through adolescence, but often it's because we've developed patterns of life that make it okay. We've lowered our value, we've lowered our goals, we've lowered our hopes, we've lowered our expectations, and we're striving, or we've given up on striving, and we're adapting. But quite honestly, when you get down to it, many people, when it gets down to that inward level, if they're really honest, it's like, no, I'm not okay. And here's the thing I've noticed. The people who are not okay on that inside, we find that, and I relate to this personally. I mean, when I'm not feeling okay at that deep level of identity, what I start doing is I begin judging much more harshly. Debbie just calls it grumpiness, but it's really tied to something deeper. I begin being really critical and very frustrated a lot. And as I do that, I find myself in a place of judging people for how they fell short or the wrong that they did. But then I also find, there's another thing that happens, is I find myself judging myself for how I fall short and for what wrong I did. Why do we do that? You know, why do we judge and condemn others and ourselves for the ways that we fall short and what we know is wrong? You know, why do we do that? Here's the thing. You and I are made in God's image. We have sin that's just distorted that in great ways, but Dan, we are made in God's image, the God of love, but also the God who is perfectly just. And so you and I have this need, and we desire justice, right? Now, there's a rightness in us that we want people held accountable and to rightly pay for what they've done wrong. And, examples like many examples. Just think about it today, you'll have like four or five. But, like, one time on the interstate, car flies by me, 100 miles an hour, and just starts zipping and cutting through these cars. I'm just ticked. Just scared me. And then a few miles later, the lights are on, the guy's pulled over, and I go, yes, right? Why? I want justice, right? We get words like justice has been done. That's poetic justice. They got what they deserved, right? That's a distorted, sinful approach in many ways, but the heart of it is because we long for justice. You know, I And if you look around and look at your own heart, but look around, you will see this happening all the time. You will see people in places, and you'll see this in people when a conviction comes down to somebody who has done something horrible. Yes, that was right. That needed to happen. You know, or all the way from how that person in the McDonald's drive-thru treated you. Right? It goes down to your kids arguing who gets what spot on the couch. What toys is mine and yours, and what's right? It's all tied to this thing within us called we want justice. I saw a bumper sticker that said, "I hope karma slaps you in the face before I do." Interpretation: I want justice, and I want karma to bring it to you. If karma doesn't do that, I might be the karma and bring the justice by me slapping you in the face, right? And what happens is, when we're not okay, we begin judging. We begin, and I call it the pointing finger. The pointing finger comes out, we're not doing okay, and we say, "God, you did, oh, it's God, I can't do that very long. Okay, God, you know, we can point the finger there for a while," but usually it starts happening to that person who's doing wrong, that person that we raise ourselves above and we judge. Why are we doing that? So, and then all of a sudden we're judging that person, we're condemning that person for how they fell short, and then, but you know what usually happens to the pointing finger? Right here. We judge ourselves. Judgment and condemnation is just two sides of the same coin. And it's this spot of trying to make things right. If you find yourself in a place that you're always criticized and always angry, it's usually because you're not okay. And you're trying to find ways of justifying yourself so you can be okay, so you can make it right. But the problem becomes is we begin taking ourselves, our righteousness, and we self-righteousness, and we begin making judgments. And then we realize in the very action of that, we see that we're doing things worse, and it's coming out of self-righteousness. And we're kind of stuck. What we are longing for, and most people would never come up with this, we're longing for righteousness. We're longing for what the Bible calls righteousness. You know, we need righteousness. Now, when Christ came, he brought that, and we can have righteousness. Paul puts it this way. He says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. You can go put a bumper sticker over that karma sticker that says, I have the righteousness of God. That may not work, but you can't do that legally according to Scripture. You, as a follower of Jesus, have the righteousness of God. You know, as you look at this, it just has so much in it. Anyone who is in Christ is to become this new creation. Everything's become new because they have been now reconciled made right with God. And the way they'd made me right with God is because our sins, our mistakes, are no longer counted against us. And now, we have been reconciled because it's been paid for by Christ, and we have become the righteousness of God. You know, Isaiah puts it in Isaiah 53, 700 years or more before Jesus showed up, it was prophesied about Jesus, and it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, he was the punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. We are all like sheep. We have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We see it over and over. And if you want to know more about this, just read Romans a lot. It just goes over and over to keep emphasizing. It says, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And so what Paul is saying here, he's saying, now here's the thing, I implore you, I've experienced this, I implore you to be reconciled with God. So what does that mean? How do you do that? How do you get to a place of getting reconciled to God? And what we see all the way through Scripture is we do that by faith or trust. We don't do it by earning or working for it, right? And so as we look at this, we understand that faith is counted as righteousness. We said all the way from Old Testament to New Testament. So how is it that you express faith? How does it look to move from a place of justifying yourself and your own self-righteousness and then turning and from that and receiving God's righteousness? Jesus gave us a great story on that. And it's in Luke 18, 9 through 14. Now, this is a great story. Now, he's speaking to these people who are greatly confident that they are justified and they are righteous. And he says this, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, why'd they do that? Because that makes them be raised up. Jesus told this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one Pharisee, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And this is just a great question, is are you confident in your own righteousness? You know, as you look at this, one left justified and the other left striving, putting themselves above others for the sake of their own justification. One left filled with the love of God and the undeserved favor of God and his righteousness, and the other left proud and empty. You know, this is an area of deep identity. And what's so great about it, and the reason it's such good news of great joy, is that it's, how do you get it? You just be honest. You just decide that you need a righteousness beyond your own. And you recognize that you need forgiveness and righteousness. That's what faith looks like. And in that spot, there's just such amazingly good news with this whole thing of righteousness and forgiveness. It just causes great joy. Now, I mean, something happens when you get right with your Creator. It just can't, it's hard to put into words. It changes things. It aligns you to how you should be. And lots of amazing things flow from that. That's why it's such good news. You know, when Jesus came, he says, I came that you might have life and have life to the full. He goes, I came to set you free. And when I set you free, you will be free indeed. It's all tied to what Jesus has done because he has freed us from this gap that we have between where we're at and where are what we hope to have happen, right? Is that a Christmas music? All right. So, and it causes us great joy. I mean, here's the thing about it. It is so good. It is so freeing because we get to this place of the weight of sin is lifted. I mean, sin, the best way to describe it, it's like you're walking around and you just keep throwing, you know, you keep going through life and it keeps getting heavier because your backpack of sin just keeps seeming to filling up, you know? And pretty soon you're trying to sin. It seems like you can't seem to get rid of the rocks. They just get heavier and heavier. And what we look at is we realize that this weight is just stealing from us. We're not able to live. All we're living is just to try to justify ourselves all the time or deaden this need that we have that we're not okay. You know, before I received Jesus, I remember I would lay and I literally, and I'm not saying this is true for everybody when they're in the state, but I started recognizing my predicament and I couldn't seem to how to get rid of the rocks. And I would lay on the couch, and it would be like, I couldn't breathe, actually. It felt like a weight was on my chest. And my only relief was sleep and a few drugs and things like that. I just was surviving because I was carrying these things. And what's funny is even after I recognized it and began trying to deal with it, it just allowed me to notice it more. You know, like, oh, man, I'm really caught here. I can't seem to change my behavior. I don't know what to do. Everything I want to do, I'm not doing. And there's this huge gap that even became more apparent. And so I just ended up figuring out ways of trying to manage it and get rid of the weight a little bit and distract myself. But I remember when I got to this place of kind of reaching the end of my self-righteousness and trying to get, I remember, and I received God's mercy. I remember telling people, I didn't know it could feel this way. I didn't know I was even carrying all this. And I love that in, you know, King David, who kind of knew quite a bit about sin and forgiveness, when he talks about forgiveness in Psalms, the word that's used there in Hebrew is it means lifted off. You know? This is why it's such good news. It lifts off the weight. That's why Jesus says, come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll lift the stuff off you. You don't have to carry sin anymore because of what I've done for you. And I've noticed this, I don't know about you, I've been a Christian a long time. Every time I keep going to God in my most broken state, in my most vulnerable place, in the place I'm messing up the most, I come away thinking, I'm even lighter than I ever was before. Where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. This is amazing because I am righteous before Christ, not because of what I've done, because what he's done. Now, you know, Paul uses this understanding of it like this. And he talks about it's so good to know that your debt is erased. You guys ever had that place where you're like under debt? And some of you are like, yeah, right now I'm right there. But you know, the reality of it is you're just that time that you pay it off and that feeling like I don't owe this anymore. I'm free from this debt. And that's the word that Paul uses, this imagery, a spot that we are his place of reconcile. It's like the books. It's like a ledger that in our account we're short. And Jesus didn't just go, I'm going to play some, kind of gray out the books a little bit and blur some lines. No, Jesus is 100% loving and 100% just. And so to pay for our sin, he put it on his ledger. And it says, In Romans, it talks about this place that he says, and Jesus' righteousness, he bore our penalty. And when we were made a new creation, and this is a position, this is an identity. This is not a one-time thing. This is what we've become. We've become the righteous of God. In fact, Ephesians says, actually, don't keep that breastplate of righteousness in place. That's who you are. That is your new identity. Now, the other thing I remember about the feeling I had is of receiving forgiveness and righteousness is I just finally felt clean on the inside. I'd never felt clean on the inside. I'd really done a lot to make the outside look clean, but my inside wasn't clean. You know, when he talks to the Pharisees, the people who were really trusting in their own righteousness, he says, oh, you're like a whitewashed tomb, which is filled with dead men's bones. You're like a cup that's clean on the outside, but full of vile crap on the inside. And I thought, oh, I relate to that. But to feel clean on the inside, righteousness allows you to know you're clean. And the words that Jesus uses to get this across throughout all Scripture, this place of forgiveness, is talked about all the time, is that it describes it as this place that where it's, our sin is washed away, and there's not even a stain left to remind us of it being there. It's gone. In Isaiah, it just refers to sin being like a cloud or mist, and the sun, which is representing God, gets rid of it, and it's gone. It uses terms like, I've thrown your sins behind my back. Your sins are now as far as the east is to the west. That's about as far as you can get away from each other. And the space of, I remember your sins no more. I've cast your sins into the sea. I've nailed your sins and your debt onto the cross. It is done. And man, when you start getting a hold of that, it changes everything. You begin finding yourself able to do things. And for me, one of the most exciting things about the message of forgiveness and this place of the righteousness of God, replacing my self-righteousness and living in something I don't deserve, but who I am, it's just you can live in the light again. You know, you no longer have to hide anything. nothing. You can just, if you sin, you just put in the light. You don't have to hide. I spent so much of my life hiding and covering. Hiding and covering. This David, the other David. This David, the other David. And it's so exhausting. But when you're living your own righteousness, it's just your life. It's so hard not to live in the light, and it's so good. And so that pointing finger just can't take place anymore. It doesn't happen because you know you're okay. Funniest, when I first became a Christian, I was living at home, I was pretty young, and I had been living a double life. My parents had, I don't know how I got this over on, but they had no idea how bad it was when I wasn't around them, right? The stuff I did, completely clueless. So they're so happy now that I'm a Christian, right? And so, but the thing was, is without understanding, and when I'm saying here, I realized I'm clean. I'm right before God. And I don't have to hide anything. So as I was around the house, I would just tell stories about the last 3 years and not thinking about what I was saying. And my mom's eyes would be like, And finally, after about the third time, she pulls me aside. She says, David, I'm so glad that Jesus has come into your life. And I'm so glad that you're all in the open and everything. But could you be less graphic on your stories? You're killing me. I'm your mom. I feel like an idiot that I didn't see these things, right? But it was like, the reason I could do it is I knew that my sin was not held against me. And I knew that I didn't have to hide anything. I knew that there really was no condemnation in Christ before I even understood the Scripture. Now, I didn't know it all the way, But I knew it a lot better, and it's become more and more. And I think the last I just say is that the reason this is so good, when you're not okay at this deep level of identity, you want to love people, you want to love God, but it just makes it almost impossible, right? Because you're spending all your time justifying and working, and you'll notice you're not going to have hardly any capacity to love. But when you're okay, when you're righteous and you know God's forgiveness, you have a capacity to love that you're being stolen from you by trying to make it with your own righteousness. So what I wanted to do is just what Paul says. I want to implore you to be reconciled to God. I want to say, please do that. If you have not committed your life to Jesus, I say, please. It's about trust. It's not about doing. It's about just recognizing, I don't have the righteousness I need. I need your mercy and I need your forgiveness because I'm not okay. That's it. That's what you need. And I encourage you to do that today. But for all of you, many of you who know Jesus, maybe somehow you've gotten pulled into this belief that there is condemnation for those in Christ, and you're just taking it in. And you don't understand that you have been forgiven, and the throne room of grace is wide open, and you need to live in that spot of righteousness. I implore you to go to God and say, God, I receive all that you've done for me on the cross. So, here's the invitation for us this morning. Fully receive God's forgiveness and righteousness. Right? That's what you need. That's what we all need. Even after we come to know Jesus, just as you received him, so walk in him. And for us, in moving others towards Jesus, tell others the story of you receiving God's forgiveness and righteousness. Right? This is what Paul's saying, is this is our ministry. Our ministry is just to tell the good news. This is available to you. You know? And this is what's happened to me, and I want you to know about this. Right?